Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Stahmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
In this episode, Ulrich Hammes-Liedtke has a conversation with Vinicius Lajic.
He is a manager, international manager for international affairs of SEBRAE, Brazilian Micro and Small Business Support Service, based in Brasilia. Probably you make a little introduction who you are and what is SEBRAE doing in general on this topic of support of small and medium-sized enterprises.
Okay, it's a pleasure to talk to you. My name is Vinicius Lajic, and I'm head of the International Affair Unit since 4 months. Before I was working in cluster development and in a portfolio of projects related to tourism, culture development, handicrafts and services and trade. And I'm SEBRAE since 1999. Before I was doing other things in the private sector as an entrepreneur and also as a lecturer at the university. SEBRAE is a quite large organization. It's present all over the country. It's a national-based organization with 800 offices throughout the country. It has 4,500 employees, direct employees, and over 10,000 related consultants or accredited consultants. It's an organization which has a public dimension, though it is a private institution. We deal with public funds. It comes from the payroll of every single formal enterprise in Brazil. 0.3% comes to our budget. It is not linked to any government budget, so we have autonomy, and we have a board which is made of public and the private sector, representatives of national confederations of industries and services and commerce and agriculture, so which is a quite unique organization in terms of its funding, in terms of its organization, and in terms of its expertise. We were created in 1972, and in 1990 we became a private organization. Our mission is to support small businesses in Brazil and help them to become more competitive and more sustainable. Small business in Brazil is quite important, as in any other developing countries, and even in developed world. It makes of 5 million formal enterprises and 10.3 million informal enterprises or activities. And it is also comprises of 4.1 million small agricultural smallholders, and well, we actually offer services, you know, business services to a small business, but we also have a role of advocacy planning. We help to design and to in fact establish policies, and working together with the public sector, we help them to understand better the needs of the small sector, and we propose either laws or mechanisms or instruments. We work together with the ministries and different levels at the national, state, and municipal level, trying to improve the business environment and create an enabling environment for them to thrive. But we basically deliver services in terms of information to the small business about markets, about financing, about technology, about how to open their business. A lot of training and courses and activities related to developing their capacity to manage the enterprises in a better way. So we have a lot of training programs around the year. Activities as fairs, trade shows, roundtables, and all different activities related to market access. And all the projects that we support, we have at the moment 1,800 projects widely spread around the country. They are all managed with a tool which is called GEOR, which is focused in results, we actually monitor and measure the results that we set before a project is launched. So we discuss it with the entrepreneurs. We decide that in terms of improving their capacity to export, we will achieve in the first year 10% more export, 15% in the second year, and so on. So we also improve them in terms of designing their packages or designing things. Every single need of the small business is mapped, and then we design a training program.
Okay, well, now we have the frame. What is Sebrae? What is Sebrae doing in Brazil? And you also talked about the monitoring system. We are here in Salvador at the forum of the Inter-American Development Bank and a little pre-forum for what is organized by the Fundes Foundation. And you did yesterday a speech about the cooperation of Sebrae with a big firm, with Petrobras, what is a petrol provider in Brazil. And I think this can be an interesting topic, how a body promoting SME is working with a big enterprise in their procurement. What is this experience about?
Okay, so yesterday I spoke about the program that we have with Petrobras, which is one of the largest Brazilian companies. It is public, though it has some, it's open to the market as the stock market, and but it is still government controlled. So we worked with them, trying to. In fact, it's more than a supply chain or a program to development, to develop providers of this big company. In fact, we're trying to understand how an important strategic sector like the energy sector, you know, the oil and gas and biofuel, how we could involve more small business in this value chain.
Then it's not only about procurement, it's all the activities around the petrol or energy sector in general, and how to look to create some kind of cluster with involvement of small and medium-sized enterprises.
Yeah. Somehow, you know, it is exactly as you said. I mean, in the beginning we thought, well, this is simply a program to develop providers, you know, and suppliers for a big company and their the other companies that are involved with the energy production system. But getting involved for an agency like Sebrae, getting involved with the energy sector, which is a highly competitive sector, helped us to understand how a global value chain could offer opportunities for small business. Apparently, with ex-ante, if you look at it, you say, well, there is no place for small business in this sector because, you know, it's highly competitive. You know, it integrates high level knowledge and technology, etc. But as we got involved with Petrobras and with the other companies that are suppliers of Petrobras, we understood that it was possible to design not only a program of suppliers, to develop the capacity of the small business involved in this program to supply for Petrobras and other companies, but also we got involved with the strategic thinking of this value chain, and it helped us to understand with a broader view how this sector affects other sectors in Brazil, and therefore helped us to think, you know, in a more open way, you know, instead of just looking at the small business, say, well, let's take care of them, let's help them to, you know, to supply, to better rise, get better managing practices, etc.
Okay, who did make the first step? Where's the initiative coming from, and what was the circumstances that the Petrobras and Sebrae worked together on this topic? What the tipping point, the beginning of the process?
Okay, there is first the opening of the break of the monopoly that was there in the 90s. and Petrobras was the only provider of energy in Brazil, was the only company allowed to explore petrol and oil and gas in Brazil. And with that, the opening of the market, new international companies came to Brazil, and they wanted to have an access to a pool of suppliers, and they don't know how to do that. So an organization was created called ONIP, Organization of the Industries of the Petrol and Gas Industries, and we created a program to qualify suppliers to these companies. And also the government later created the PROMIMP, which is a program to develop this value chain, and with the help of the government money, the private sector, and with our help, we designed a specific program to qualify these companies to deal with larger companies. And which is interesting is that when they become suppliers of a company as Petrobras, they immediately become a supplier at the global level, because in order to become a supplier of Petrobras, you have to be ISO 9000 and so on. So you become a supplier at the global level. So which is very interesting. It's a shortcut, and help is it's like a leapfrog for a small company when they become suppliers of an international company such as Petrobras or other Shell and other companies that are in Brazil. They open the market to a global scale.
Yeah, you mentioned this requirement of ISO 9000 or 14000 certification of SMEs. And usually SMEs I know from South America not very broad, this kind of certification of SMEs. We know a lot of informal SMEs, SMEs by need. We'll have some middle-sized enterprises just beginning with this certification process. How is the reality in Brazil? Have you a lot of certified, or do you help to SMEs in this kind of process to go within this certification processes?
Yes, indeed, we do help. I would say that in the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, there was more attention to regarding quality control and qualifying companies to have access to this sort of certification. As we all know, decision to certify a company or a decision that as an entrepreneur has to make in order to choose a certification is related to the market where it is placed. If it is offering something that is in a very restricted market, which require all these certifications, they're obliged to. You know, they have no choice. But we always approach SMEs saying that, well, first of all, decide or have a clear view of the market you want to reach. If it is a market that, if you're producing food, for instance, yesterday you mentioned the geographic information, which is a sort of certification that includes some intangible values related to culture or to a very specific quality, territorial-based or cultural or know-how-based of a particular product or process. If you are offering a product that has this requirement in the world market or in the national market, so you have to obey. I mean, you have to have this sort of certification. We don't work a certification as per itself. Let's say you have to have an ISO because all the big companies have one. No, we think that training companies, small companies, training SMEs to have a better control of their quality of the process and the product, either if they are aiming to have a certification or not, it's already a very pedagogic, a very educative process, because they will divide their process in different phases. They will understand the leaks, the weak points, and they will try to improve in every single aspect of their process of production of value adding process. So yes, indeed, we do have different programs. We have programs to train them for getting ISO, but also geographic information or geographic identification. Sorry, I was saying geographic information, but it's geographic identification as also a certification, which is very interesting. Organic or social responsible or fair trade, whatever. We have different groups of certification, and we all, for each one of them, we have a particular package of training. And I think all the companies that participate, even if they do not have access to the market they are aiming, they change their mental model and the mindset, and they become more efficient. Which is a very important, change in terms of competitiveness of SMEs.
Okay, you mentioned the importance of territories in this context, and this podcast is already about local economic development. What is the link with the Petrobras or the energy cluster activities of Sebrae with the territories? You talked yesterday about petrol networks on the local base. What is the importance of the territory in this kind of national program?
If you look at this program with Petrobras and Sebrae and SMEs and other partners as a value chain development strategy, you are missing the whole picture, which is you have to consider the impact of this value chain in the areas where they are installed. For instance, the value chain of oil and gas has a few major links. One of them is extraction of the oil and gas, of course, the refinement and the petrochemicals. So either you're talking about offshore or onshore, especially onshore, then you will be involving all the dimensions of the local development. Because if you look at the petrol royalties, for instance, which is in fact charged by the government and then distributed to the local level, the municipalities can use that royalty to develop a strategy for the future when the petrol will be not there anymore. And they can train people to other skills. They can attract other investments to diversify the economy. So we use this value chain, the oil and gas value chain project, not only in this dimension of development of suppliers, but as a local development strategy, which involves the capacity to diversify the economy. And of course, an oil and gas production zone is not usually one of the most attractive zones for many of the other industries. But if you consider the offshore part of the strategy, then you're going to have a lot of conflict, because then you have the ocean. Brazil has a large coastal line, and most of the areas that produce oil and gas are offshore. So our major oil fields are offshore, and gas fields. So there you're going to have a conflict of the uses of the resources of the sea. And now you have the tourism, you have fishing, you have fish production, you have exports, you have the different uses of these resources. And then you have to have a territorial approach to manage this conflict, because otherwise you're going to spoil the whole possibility of utilizing this particular resources as a possibility to develop new activities for the future. So we also consider that into this program. Now, so it's not supplier development program, but it's also considered the territorial dimension, and especially because you have to have coordination between the different actors. And if you say, well, let's only look at the Petrobras or the big companies and the suppliers, you're going to miss the other actors that are involved in this region, and then the results will be limited.
Probably to make it more concrete, you can give us a concrete example of one location where you did this kind of cooperation, and how was the involvement of the local stakeholders, the municipality, the use of the royalty in one particular case to understand better the logic of your activity on the ground.
Let's talk about Macaé in Campos in Rio de Janeiro in southeast Brazil. So there they have revenue from oil and gas royalties of about $800 and $900 million a year. So it's quite a lot of money. And a few years ago, the local authorities were using this money in an unwise way. They're promoting parties, you know, doing activities, because they can use this money freely. You know, it's not included into the fiscal control. There is a Brazilian law that controls all the money that comes from the government and has to have a certain application. And this money is somehow free to apply. So many mayors, many local authorities are using this unwisely. That was the case of Macaé in Campos, Rio de Janeiro. And so we help them to better plan the future. We help them to design a development plan so they could attract all the competences to the area, all the firms, all the services, and to not only to improve the supply chain related to the oil and gas, but also to think about all the activities that could be attracted and somehow also to enable the local companies, the local SMEs, to become providers of services and goods to all the areas, since they have the capacity to scale up in that particular cluster. So that's the case of Macaé and in Campos, you know, and they are investing in infrastructure, in education, in training, so people can be prepared when the oil and gas will be not there. So that's one of the best examples that we have. But unfortunately, this issue of royalties and the use of rights by local municipalities is yet unsolved in Brazil. We need to deepen that discussion and to help the local authorities to use that in a wiser way. But indeed, as we included the local development dimension to this project, we look at other aspects of the development process, and not only the, you know, as I said, train the suppliers to become a better supplier of Petrobras. That was.
You said it's not the only case, but you're also working on this supplier change. You say you talked about some kind of yellow pages of supplier. What do you do in this kind of project? How to link the suppliers with a big firm? What are the techniques, the tools you are using? And my impression is that it's not so easy for a big firm, especially when they are in a competitive market, to open up this sensitive information on their own procurement. How is that? Which are the concrete tools you're working with?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Eric. I mentioned as well that trust building is a key point in this whole process. I mean, if you don't have the capacity, you don't have the institutional credibility to approach a big company and say, hey, let's work together, because you're going to need suppliers anyway, and we can help you to have better suppliers. And not only that, we can help you to have a better business environment. We can help you to improve the quality of the environment by using the resources that is available. Now, you can help you to have a better quality of governance of the local institutions. So you're going to have investment in security, in education, and urban development. So you're going to have your company in an improved environment. So indeed, Sebrae has acquired an excellent reputation in the context of Brazil with regard to this relationship with big companies. We can easily approach any of them at the moment and discuss this issue, especially because the issue of social corporate responsibility is there, and this Millennium Goals, Global Compact, many of the major global players of the international market are there in Brazil. So Volkswagen, Volvo, IBM, wherever, Toyota, they all want to have a good place in the picture, saying, hey, I'm helping small companies in Brazil. That is one aspect. So we can seduce them because of that. But that is only the beginning. I don't like to use SMEs as a bargaining tool to improve their reputation. No. I think that is a poor attitude. I think we can say, well, we can have an economic system where there is a place for SMEs. We all know that you need suppliers at different levels. Your major suppliers will need smaller suppliers. So let's open at least a strategic dialogue so we can identify where are your major needs at the moment. Of course, as you mentioned, the decision to open their files and say, well, look, I have 2,000 suppliers here. Half of them are no good, so help me to develop them. If their competitors know that, of course, they will act against these major companies. So we have some degree of confidentiality in each issue, in each project. We have to take care of that because, you know, in the process of trust building, that's key. So if they allowed us to have, we have a software, some of the Brazilian state, like Espírito Santo, for instance, I developed a software where if you open your files and say, well, this is the list of things that we buy with the different specifications, etc., we can actually build a matrix of services and goods, and from that we can define where are the areas where we could approach this company and offer the possibility of developing a program of supplier development. But I think the most important thing is to understand the needs of the major companies. I mean, any organization that supports SMEs, sometimes they work against the real economy, against the major companies, and that's not our case. We understood, not long ago, we understood that, one, it is very important to understand the real economy. It's very important to work together with big companies. Because the world, you know, this $44 trillion, it's mainly produced by larger companies. And so why not to learn from them? Why not to work together with them? And there are many possibilities. And the other one is not to think that it is possible to offer a singular SME to these big companies. They want to have a pool of possibilities and in different formats. So in different formats, we can offer packages of possibilities to big companies so they can help us to co-develop SMEs in Brazil. And we have yet a lot to learn, but many results are there, and I think it's quite good to acknowledge that something has already improved in the case of Brazil, and with the political will that the government has to include more people and more companies in the major economic process of the Brazilian development, that will really help. And I think that the major players in our economy understand that.
Okay, finishing this podcast, probably you can give some websites where the listener of this podcast series find appropriate information about SEBRAE and about the activities you do with the big firms.
Okay, so let's start with the SEBRAE website, which is www.sebrae.com.br from Brazil. So from there, I mean, you can send an email to me if they want. I mean, it's Vinicius, V-I-N-I-C-I-U-S dot L-A-G-E-S at sebrae.com.dr. So please send an email and I'll be happy to answer your questions. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, thank you, Vinicius. Bye-bye.